Take your Bibles, if you would. John chapter 21. We finished last week with the last two verses in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And let me just read them to you to remind you. If you have your Bibles open, you can look at them with me. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. It sounds like John is done. It sounds like he's concluded the gospel, the book that he has written. And he says, I didn't write a complete record. There's many other things that Jesus did that are not written in the book. But these are written so that you can know that he's the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you might have the eternal life that he offers to every person through his death on Calvary. So again, a good ending for the gospel. But here's chapter 21. Why was it added? And again, John didn't add it. It was the Holy Spirit that added it. He used John to write it, but God, the Holy Spirit, added it. Now, to answer the question, why did the Holy Spirit add chapter 21? You look at what the main character, who the main character is in John chapter 21, and it's Simon Peter. And so if you want to know why chapter 21 was added, you got to look at him. I would just remind you that the Gospel of John was written many years after Peter had died. It was also written a long time after the other three Gospels. In fact, on many occasions, John doesn't include something in his Gospel because the other three Gospels all had it. And oftentimes, John adds something that was not in the other three Gospels, like he does here in chapter 21. The other three Gospels sort of leave Peter in a bad light. They all record his three denials that night that Jesus was on trial before the Sanhedrin. And after that, little is mentioned of him. In Mark chapter 16, the angels, when they met the women going to the grave, said, go tell his disciples and Peter. So he's mentioned by name that the women are to go back and tell Peter about the resurrected Lord. In Luke chapter 24, we're reminded that Peter was hesitant to believe the resurrection. In that same chapter, it says that Jesus had appeared to Peter. And so after the three Gospels, there's sort of a cloud that hangs over Peter's life. Now, again, we read about him in Acts, but Acts was written after the book of John was written. And so I think the Holy Spirit added chapter 21 so that we could get an additional perspective on Peter. Some people don't believe that John wrote the 21st chapter. I do. I mean, it's in his style. It copies, and we'll look at a couple of things. I'll point them out to you tonight that indicate to me that John wrote it. It shows Jesus' nature of forgiveness again to his children. And it shows Peter in the same light as he's seen earlier in his discipleship. Okay? And so let's look at it from that perspective. Let's look at it from the perspective that the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us something else about Peter after he had denied Christ three times the night he was crucified. So we start in verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. As in other instances where John's about to add something that's not in the other Gospels, he uses that phrase, after these things. And again, this event is not recorded. This appearance of Jesus is not recorded in the other Gospels. It occurred at the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. So Jesus had told the disciples to go back to Galilee and he would meet them there. And so the disciples went back to Galilee, to the Sea of Galilee, probably to Capernaum, the hometown of Peter and Andrew and James and John. And so those four were there. Andrew's not mentioned, but Simon was there. Thomas, Nathanael, James and John. So those five, and two other disciples. Now, the two others are not named. Maybe one of those was Andrew. We don't know. Maybe one was Matthew. We don't know. We don't know where the other four were. But there were seven of them together, five of whom we know who they were. Verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Now, so while they were waiting for Jesus to come, Peter says, I'm going fishing. And the other six that were there said, well, we're going to go with you. There's been many sermons preached that when Peter said, I go a-fishing, that he was renouncing his call from Christ and he was going back to his old way of life. He was going back to be a fisherman. There's no indication that that was true. He was a fisherman by trade. He made his living by being a fisherman. He was waiting with nothing to do. And so while he was waiting, he said, hey, I'm going to go fishing. Even though it was his occupation, I think it would have been relaxing to Peter. I think he was still under a lot of stress. He still didn't know where he stood with Jesus. He had denied him after confessing. Remember, he said when they were in the upper room, when they had the Passover supper and when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, Jesus had said, hey, you're all going to be offended because of me this night. And Peter said, not me. All these other guys may be offended because of you, but not me. And he fell. I mean, he was offended. He stumbled. He denied Christ three times. And so I think it was an opportunity for him to go do something that he was very familiar with, that in a sense was relaxing. And I think that it was also an opportunity to make some money. I mean, if he caught some fish and could sell them, he could, you know, he would have a little money to meet the living expenses that he would have. So instead of just wasting time, he decided to do something that, you know, could make a little money and maybe even relax him a little bit. And so he decided that he would go fishing. The other said, hey, we're going to go with you. And the Bible says they fished all night and caught nothing. Now, I know the fishermen in the room have never suffered a night like that. If you did, you surely wouldn't admit it. And maybe these fishermen wouldn't admit it, but these fishermen didn't write this story. The Holy Spirit wrote this story. So we get the truth. Not to say that fishermen don't tell truth. I'm just saying we get the truth in this particular instance. They fished all night and caught nothing. Verse 4, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. So about daybreak, they saw a man standing on the shore. Because of the distance, they were about 300 feet out. The Bible, we're going to see that in just a minute. They were about 300 feet out on the Sea of Galilee. Maybe there was a mist on the sea because it was early morning. They saw somebody standing there, but they did not know it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. Again, they didn't know who it was. I mean, we know because it says, but Jesus called unto them, but this was just a man to them. They said, hey, do you have any meat? Do you have any food? Have you caught any fish? Now, they were truthful as they answered. He said, no, we haven't. We have not caught any fish. And he said unto them, verse 6, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So this man, again, who they did not know who it was, said, well, cast your net on the other side of the ship. I mean, they must have been fishing on the left side of the ship because Jesus said, cast it on the right side of the ship. Now, again, some people might have thought, well, Jesus saw something from the shore on the other side of the ship that said, hey, there's fish over there. Or maybe it was just because he was God and knew where the fish was. Maybe he had gathered them there for his disciples. But they did it. They picked up the net from the left side of the ship. They cast it on the right side of the ship. And they caught so many fish that they couldn't pull the net back into the boat. Stop. Just think about that. At least three of these guys, of the seven, were experienced fishermen. Okay? They had fished this very sea. They had made their living by catching fish. And here, they fished all night and caught nothing. This stranger, this man on the shore, says, cast your net on the other side of the ship and you'll find fish. They did it. And there were so many fish in the net that they couldn't even pull the net back up into the boat. Now again, when God does something, he doesn't do anything halfway. When God does something, as some of you testified tonight, he blesses in abundance. But this event reminded some of the disciples, at least three of them that were there, of something that had happened early on when they had met Jesus. Jesus had come to the, and it's recorded in Luke chapter 5. Jesus had come to the Sea of Galilee and he was teaching by the shore. The crowd pressed on him. And the Bible said he got in a boat. And the boat just so happened to belong to Peter. Now, again, I don't think it was just a circumstance. I think Jesus knew exactly whose boat he was getting into. Peter and Andrew were in the boat mending their nets, getting ready for the next night of fishing. And Jesus said, could you cast out just a little bit so that I could use your boat as a platform and a pulpit to teach the crowd? And so Peter took the anchor up and cast out from shore a little bit, and Jesus taught and preached to the people. And then after he got done, he said to Peter, hey, well, let's cast out into the deep. Let's go fishing. And Peter said, we fished all night, and we've caught nothing. But he said this, nevertheless, at thy word, we'll do it. Now again, Peter had probably encountered Jesus before. He had probably heard him teach. He certainly heard him teach while he was using his boat as a platform and a pulpit. And so he says, at your word, even though I don't think it's going to, I mean, you're a preacher, you don't know nothing about fishing. I'm a fisherman, I know everything about fishing. We fished all night and caught nothing. Everybody knows that fish don't bite in the daytime. But because you tell me to do it, I will do it. And so they cast out. And the Bible says, and when they, so it was more than just Peter, when Peter and Andrew had done this, they let down the net. And the Bible says they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and the net began to break. Okay, it began to break. They called their partners who were on the shore mending their nets, James and John. And they said, hey, come and help us. And they got out there and they began to put the fish in the boats. And the Bible says that both, they caught so many fish that both boats began to sink. I mean, the weight was so heavy that both boats began to sink. And the Bible says that when they got back to land, they, who included Peter and Andrew, James and John, forsook all and followed Jesus. Okay? Now, verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's the way John identified himself throughout the Gospel of John. He never called himself by name. He always says, the disciple that Jesus loved. Who was there early on when Jesus said, I know it's daytime, but let's go fishing. And they caught so many fish that both boats began to sink. John says, hey, this just isn't any man. He said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Only the Lord could do something like that. Peter, don't you remember what happened before? Don't you remember that day on the Sea of Galilee after we'd fished all night and caught nothing and Jesus said, let's go fishing, and you said, well, it's no use, but we'll do it anyway, and we caught so many fish that both boats began to sink? Don't you remember that, Peter? It is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. When you were fishing back in that day as a fisherman, and it was hot on the sea, you wore a cloth around your waist. He was naked the rest of the way. And when John said, "Peter, it's the Lord," he put his coat on and jumped into the water. Now, again, they were about 300 feet out from the shore, so I don't know how deep the water was. He probably had to swim part of the way, and then when he got to where it was shallower, he waded the rest of the way in. He didn't want to wait for the boat to get back in. He wanted to be the first one to the shore to meet Jesus. He left the other disciples to take care of all the fish that they caught, and he went back to shore. Verse 8, "And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits." Remember, a cubit's about a foot and a half, so about 300 feet. "Dragging the net with fishes." Now, the fact that the Bible says in a little ship, mostly if you had a big fishing boat, you also had a little rowboat beside it. And so many Bible scholars think that these five guys got in the rowboat, and they drug the net with them as they rowed back to shore. Verse 9, "As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread." None of the fish they had caught, I mean, they were still in the net, but fish that probably Jesus had caught had already started a fire, was cooking probably his own breakfast. He had fish and bread, and they saw that as they came back to shore. Verse 10, "Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught." Hey, join me for breakfast. I've got the fire going. I've got bread. I've got some fish already cooking. It's not enough for all of us. But go get some that you've caught. Verse 11, "Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes." Great fishes. Big fishes. Okay? 153. Often wondered who counted them. Did Peter do all the counting by himself, or did some of the other disciples go out there and say, "Hey, let us help you. It's going to take you a long time. So let's get these fish out and count them." And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Just as much of a miracle as it was to catch all the fish, it was a miracle that Jesus kept the net from breaking. They made it all the way back to land with all the fish that God wanted them to have. Verse 12, "Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord?" So they don't say anything about cleaning the other fish and putting them on the fire, but it's implied. The fact that Jesus told them to go get some of their fish indicates that he didn't have enough for all of them with what he'd already started cooking. And so somebody had to go get some of the fish that they had caught, clean them, and lay them on the fire. But none of the disciples say, "Hey, who are you?" because they knew that it was Christ. They knew that it was the Lord. Verse 13, "Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. At the last supper they had together, Jesus washed their feet. He took the form of the lowest servant. Now at this breakfast, he was both cook and waiter. He served the disciples breakfast. Verse 14, "This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead." He showed himself the first time that Sunday night, the resurrection day. He showed himself the second time, the Sunday night after that. Remember, Thomas wasn't there the first time, but he was there the second time. And so this is the third time, and again, Jesus showing himself to the disciples as a group, as the 11 or more, okay? This is the third time that he showed himself to them. I had intended to go further tonight, but this will be a good stopping point for us to pick up next week. You know the story. They eat breakfast. They sit around talking. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these?" He's going to probe Peter's heart. He's going to get Peter to face not only what he did, but what he needs to do. And so we'll look at that next week. Thank you for being here tonight. Men will be meeting back in the library. Ladies will be meeting over here and over here to pray. Would certainly invite you to join either group. We get a blessing as we pray together. If you ask any of the men that are in our prayer meeting, I think they tell you the same thing. We get a blessing by getting together and pray, and I think the ladies would tell you the same thing. So let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Thank you for being here tonight. God is so good to us. God is so good to us.